The Flatus Show is brought to you by Douglas Brothers Apple Pectin Pea Powder Organic Soap, cleansing and rejuvenating hands and faces since 1923.
This podcast is a proud member of the Network of One Podcast. And also the Freak Network at thefreaknetwork.com.
On today's Bill of the Flatus Show, episode 138, life insurance, exercise, science, and a poem. All of this and more. The Flatus Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flatus Show. A low-calorie carbonated beverage for my diet. Delicious low-calorie carbonated beverage, which we all know is just seltzer water. Welcome to the Flatus Show. Jose, my co-host, is actually right here.
Next to you. Come here, honey.
Pull him up here in my lap. He's shivering. Okay, honey. The low-calorie carbonated beverage is all over the place. It exploded. Oh, how you doing, kids? It's another week of the Flatus Show. To be perfectly honest, I had a hard time starting this show. There's so much I want to do. I'm a little overwhelmed with things, you know. So just to let you know, I think I might not do the Flatus Show next week. I'm going to take a little vacation to get some other stuff done. I was thinking, you know, how we're all concerned about China taking over and, you know, how China's manufacturing everything. And it seems like this is one way, there's only one way that our dollar is being sucked out of our pockets. And that's, you know, we're paying China to, you know, make our clothes or everything, basically. And how the energy companies are sucking up our money, stealing our money, like the gas companies and stuff. You know, with all these problems, like with Katrina and everything, and gas prices are so high, and you know, gas companies have made more profits over the past few years than ever before, apparently. I think there's a problem, because the profits aren't being made elsewhere. Then it's the only places are being made. You know, you can't gauge, that's not a gauge for the economy, because gas companies are making money because they're ripping people off, you know? I don't know. I don't understand these things. But it does boggle the mind, you know? So anyway, welcome to the Flatus Show. Let's see what else. I have some announcements here. Johnny, his podcast is up and running. It is called The Dark Forest, and it can be found at dfranger.blogspot.com. Jose, you're shivering. He is shivering. Dark Forest, it's called The Dark Forest, dfranger.blogspot.com. Go over there. I have links to my show notes. Actually, not the show notes, but on my page, theflatusshow.blogspot.com, you can get links there. And you can listen to Johnny's podcast. It's a very good podcast. I helped him out with it. He's doing really well, you know. I mostly had him just do it himself, you know, do the podcast himself. So, you know, make him learn how to do it. What else is there? Okay. A couple weeks ago, you know, I was talking about the, you know, your kink, right? Get at, you know, show your kink, right? And J.W. Richards of Mandrake Society Radio. Oh, fuck me. Drop my show notes. Jose, you want to go pick that up? He's shivering. Can you hold on? I want to go put a coat on him. I'm going to pause. Hold on. Lie down, Jose. Jose, take a nap. Sorry I'm making all these noises. Well. Oh, well. So anyway, J.W. Richard of Mandrake Society Radio sent me a link, which was a Christian BDSM site. And I thought, wow, that's interesting, you know? I said, you know, because, you know, J.W. sent it. I thought it was interesting. So I go to it, and it's just like the same old Christian crap that's out there. I mean, when I say Christian, I really mean Pauline. You know, the, yes, you can have BDSM, or the Bible says that BDSM is fine. I can stick golf balls in my wife's mouth. If it's between a man and his wife, BDSM is fine. So, according to the Bible, bondage and discipline and sadomasochism and discipline and slaves, slave master, ball torture, whatever, is condoned by the Bible, as long as you're a man and a woman in a marriage. What? I mean, it can't be. That's not fun, you know? You know, the kink, right? There's no kink there. That's stupid. Christian BDSM. I think Christianity, according to these people, is BDSM. The whole thing. As we'll hear from a phone call I got from Calvin right now.
Hi, Kenty. This is Calvin, and I'm actually not calling you from the financial district this time. I'm calling you from a parking lot of Safeway in Tillamook, Oregon, where the cheese comes from. Anyway, when I think of cheese, I like to think of you, Kenty. Sorry. The religious reading, it just further confirms, I guess I was saying even on my show, how most of this Christianity stuff in a lot of ways is all about submission. It's about, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are, how, you know, living with the principles you are, unless you submit to Christ or unless you submit to this sort of God thing, it all means nothing. The whole key point of it all is the submission. And that's domination, power, and control, in my opinion. And that's what it's... I don't know. Anyway, so... enjoying the show, as always. Please say hello to Jose for me. Oh, and I really enjoyed that you got John to talk about the relationship thing a little bit. I thought it was very sweet, you know. And Mormons have a thing, well, at least they used to, they had a thing called the Law of Sarah. You know how Abraham and Sarah, you know, that Sarah was his first wife, and she always got to, you know, make the rules and sort of reject or accept, you know, further wives and whatnot. So, anyway, okay. Hope all's well. Talk to you later. Bye.
So I think this is the phone call Calvin said that, you know, he's convinced that Christianity is really just about master-slave. It is. Submit, you know, all that. I think there's a difference between my idea as a Unitarian Christian that we rely on God. I rely on God. I mean, it's not a... For Unitarianism is not a non-creedal. Unitarian Universalists are non-creedal. I have a personal creed, I guess, which is belief, right? Creed is belief. But I don't think that... I wouldn't impose it on anybody because I think it's a personal thing. And as opposed to other religions which have a creed which you have to accept to belong to that thing. If you don't believe it, you're thrown out, basically. So the Unitarian Universalists are... Each individual has their own creed. I mean, based on your knowledge on what's a there's a hold on there's a pamphlet here I have from the Unitarians. Jesus. Okay. You ever feel uncomfortable some days where just nothing seems to work and nothing seems to get done and you want to get stuff done? I don't know if I'm depressed or what, but it says here, the Unitarian Universalist approach to spirituality is basically different from that of religions based on a creed or received revelation. In our search for religious truth, we weigh the religious voices and visions of every place and time on a balance with our own voice and vision. We search the gathered wisdom of humankind, reason and intuition, the arts and science, and we search our own experience. We enter the combined religious traditions of the Unitarians and the Universalists, offering the life truths of bisexual, gay, lesbian, and transgender people. The pamphlet is Unitarian Universalism, a religious home for bisexual, gay, lesbian, and transgender people. That burp was in no way a reflection on this pamphlet, because I think it's great. But it is true. Unitarian Universalists will, you know, they're accepting, you know. I don't know what you call that. I like the Unitarians. Of course, you know, me, I consider myself a Unitarian. But I have, I guess I'm a Unitarian with a creed. I mean, I guess I have my own personal creed. I just don't want to, I want to follow that creed. Right, I want to understand what I believe and go on, you know. There's certain things I have dismissed in my beliefs. And but not out of ignorance or what do you call it? Out of stupidity. It's because I've evaluated it and it's not something that is part of my belief system. Just like it's actually, you know, realizing I was a Unitarian. I wasn't Unitarian in the sense that I don't believe in the Trinitarian theology, and I certainly don't believe in forcing creeds on people. So anyway, go check out the Unitarians. This episode of the Flay Show is brought to you by the Unitarian Universalist. No. On Wikipedia, wikipedia.org for all your information needs. And that and Crisco. Crisco brand products from 1907. Original brand Crisco. Hardening arteries since 1907. Anyway. That's a little joke, Wanda. Anyway. What else do we have here? Telling on Trixie. Okay, I got this thing. Telling on Trixie was following on Twitter. So I go to my Twitter and I say, look at it. Telling on Trixie is a band. They're on Podshow. They have their music on Podshow. So if you're a podcaster, you can get their music and play it. It's very good. They have some videos. And the guy is really cute who is has pictures. He's really cute. And what else was I going to say about it? I had emailed him. I said, oh, I listened to your song Orion's End or something like that. And I should know that, shouldn't I? Sorry if you're listening to this, Telling on Trixie. But I am mentioning your name, Telling on Trixie, okay? Podshow, look it up. Do a Google search. Telling on Trixie, T-R-I-X-X-I-E, okay? I have it in the show notes. Great music. I like it. I downloaded the songs. I went put it on my iPod and listened to it some more. But they were on Twitter, they're following me, and I wrote to them, and he writes back to me, he goes, maybe you can play ukulele on our next album. I was like, oh, that's so cute. I mean, I'm just a strumming kind of guy, so I don't know how that would work, but I think that's so cool. No one's ever invited me to play ukulele before. I am just tickled pink, really. Tickled pink. I mean, I don't think I could do it because I'd probably be too nervous, but the fact that you said that is just, like, really nice. So, anyway, Telling on Trixie, go check them out. It's good. It's really good stuff. There was a book I saw the other day called Wikinomics, and it said the new economy is based on sharing and the free flow of ideas. That's what the whole idea of, like, Wikipedia and the wikis and stuff and Creative Commons. And it made me think, you know, that's you know, that's what the podcast is. That's why I have my podcast as Creative Commons, because I want a free flow of ideas. You know, I want to be part of something bigger to, you know, be part of something bigger to grow on. Now, that doesn't mean that I would want my involvement to be any less recognized, right? So, I mean, if it were to be a – I think ideas should be free-flowing, right? And as soon as there's a commercial venture, then authors involved in getting to that idea ought to be compensated when it goes commercial. You know what I'm saying? It's like if people are working on a movie script. There's a place, I forget the name of the website, you can go and work on a movie script, right? And you put your script in there, you can have other people help you. But, you know, if it became a commercial thing, then all those people who helped you should be paid. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. What do you think? I mean, doesn't that seem right? Of course, how do you determine who did all the work? You know, who did most of the work? That's the hard thing, I guess. So, but I do believe in the free flow of ideas, and I think that people who did do things ought to be compensated for it. You know, who had the ideas originally? Because isn't it like the guy who created the Macintosh? It was stolen by somebody. It's like the guy who originally created the user interface for like Apple, right? He apparently didn't make any money off the deal. You know, he was like paid, I don't know, whatever. It just seems like rotten. You know, people who really were the innovators don't get it. I mean, it's just the person who has commercialized it and has marketed it. You know, like, and then that's a job, believe me. But the guy who created it should have something too. So, I don't know. That disturbs me about the way the things work. Okay. Talking about gays some more. Because, you know, this is part of the gay agenda. You know, gay agenda. Watch out, Jan Markell. The gay agenda is going to get you and bite your ass. It's going to rim you. Okay? What would happen? I would love to see Jan Markell's face if somebody rimmed her. What do you think? They could be rimming her and, like, you know, quoting Deuteronomy at the same time. I wonder if she keeps her ass clean. But anyway, gays are more involved within the internet social media sites than other people, straight people, that is. More gays. If people who are online involved with places like Facebook and podcasts and blogs, gays read blogs more than straight people. Gays are on the internet more than straight people. Because that's part of the gay agenda. We're going to take over the internet and then take over the world. And pretty soon you'll all be fudge packing. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Destroy marriage. That's right. All my little gay listeners, we must destroy marriage. Yes. Yes, the gay agenda. We must destroy all straight things. Yes, yes. We're going to steal the babies, grip them from the clutch of their mother's arms, and force them to learn how to be homosexuals in schools which are segregated to be all male and all female, right? Force them to be homosexual. And we'll take the four straight people and put them into camps. Yes, camps in Wisconsin. And then they're not allowed to get married. They're only allowed to fornicate. Yes, and they're only allowed to fornicate in bathrooms, just like we're forced to. Oh, glorious. Okay, if you don't know it, that was a joke. But I'm sure I'm misquoted by Jan Markell and her podcast. The gay agenda, can you believe what they're doing? I think she uses hypnotic suggestions in her podcast. If you listen to it, I was listening to her podcast, and you're listening to her talk, and then in the background you hear these like voices, like, and I'm thinking, what the fuck? You know, how are they recording this? You know, what are they doing? You know, it's like, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Jan Markell's using hypnotic suggestions to turn people into Trinitarian fascist pigs? Probably. But, you know, It's not going to work on me. Oh, maybe it will. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? What would happen if I turned into a Trinitarian? I'm like, God, if I turn into a Trinitarian, somebody shoot me, okay? Because I don't want to add to any kind of horrible things that Trinitarians do. I'm terrible. I'm turning into a fascist. Okay, Trinitarians out there, do not be afraid. If I were to be in power, I would not hurt you. I'd listen to what you have to say, laugh at most of it, but I would listen, and then disregard it completely. Okay? We need a re-education. I sound like Mal now. Re-educate them! Re-educate them! We're going to, kick them out of the churches and make them farm the fields. Yes, yes, it's all part of the gay agenda. I can see it now. On with the show.
Oh, little Audrey says, save for rainy days. She says, but every time it rains, she spends what she puts away. She knows her proverbs A to Z and knows the good they bring.
But when she has to follow them,
well, that's another thing. Oh, little Audrey says, while the sun is out, make hay. Though she's not immense, there's a lot of sense in what little Audrey has to say.
One day, little Audrey woke up to the sound of a telephone ringing. She picked up the receiver, and a voice said, "The local nuclear reactor has blown up. Take your iodine tablets now. Take your iodine tablets now." So little Audrey hung up the phone and ran to the bathroom. The iodine tablets were missing. So she ran into the living room, and she saw on the floor her little brother. He was dead on the floor. You see, little Audrey knew that he was allergic to iodine. She went into the kitchen and found a note from her parents saying that they'd be back to pick her up. So little Audrey went outside when along came a neighbor who came up screaming, "Little Audrey! Little Audrey! We have to get out of town! We have to get out of town or we're all doomed! We're doomed! We're doomed!" As the neighbor ran off, little Audrey just laughed and laughed and laughed because she knew all along that she had life insurance.
Telling why I'm happy. Never sigh, and troubles I forget. Birdie sing, and everything is rosy. Ever since, yes, ever since we met. When skies were gray, you came my way. That's why I love you. That's why I love you. I learned to smile like sweet heart smile, that's why I love you. Who wouldn't love you? Your sweet caress just thrilled me, it seems, and filled my heart with wonderful dreams. Sweet dreams of stars above, and I'm in love, that's why I love you, sweetheart. In a world, a happy world of sunshine, life's content since heaven sent you here. I'll confide, I never saw the sunshine, not until your heart was mine, my dear. skies were gray. You came my way, that's why I love you. That's why I love you. I learned to smile like sweet heart smile, that's why I love you. Who wouldn't love you? Your sweet caress just thrilled me, it seems, and filled my heart with wonderful dreams. Sweet dreams of stars above, and I'm in love, that's why I love you, sweetheart.
Exercising. How you doing, kids? This little segment is about exercising, weight training, which I've been doing. As you may know, let me move this. Okay. And let me tell you, it's been a real eye-opener for me and a personal revelation about myself. As when I got involved, when I started doing the weight training, because it's something I didn't necessarily think I would like, but I ended up really enjoying it. And it makes me wonder, you know, where I'd be today if I had started a lot earlier. And for whatever reason, you know, kept me from doing that. I mean, it was the attitude, I guess, in my family. We weren't really sports people, so we weren't into sports. But I really like weight training because, and bodybuilding, because it's an individual thing. And, you know, you can talk to people. I mean, you're not competing against, I'm not competing against other people. What I'm doing is I'm trying to measure my own, you know, growth and strength, you know. So that's why I like it.
But exercise.
It's a yawn. But exercise is important. And it seems to me that there are more Americans need to exercise. But, you know, let me qualify that. Because, I mean, we all hear the news that the rate of Americans are becoming obese, you know, or gaining weight and this, that, and the other thing. Now, maybe it's Harvard Square, but, I mean, I was looking at Harvard Square, and there's a lot of fucking thin people. I mean, I don't really see a lot of overweight people. So where are all these overweight people? I mean, apparently they're in Arkansas, I think. Is that the fattest state? My guess is that the fattest people are the poorest people because they can't afford to have the right foods. They can't afford – they don't have jobs which allow them to have the time to exercise, to go to the gym. And they don't have the money to join a gym, right? And talking about their jobs, I mean, a lot of poor people are having a hard time making ends meet, have more than one job. And they have very little time to themselves and money to take care of themselves or their family. And I imagine it's all the processed foods with the sugars, corn syrups and stuff, which are causing this obesity in America. So anyway, let's all be hopeful, because I think there has to be a way that people can take charge of their lives, even if they don't have, even if it's a little more on the difficult side. You have to take charge of your life. I mean, that's easy said, right? Easier said than done. I mean, you know, if you can't do it, you can't do it, right? But this is what I'm going to tell you. That there are ways to do things, okay? So I'm going to get into the nutrition part later, because in another episode. But I'm going to go to the store for the nutrition part and shop. And I'll tell you exactly what I bought and paid for and how long it's good for. Like, you know, if there's a week's worth of food that you need to nourish yourself if you start exercising, or if you're not exercising. I mean, you have to have a balanced diet. But I'm going to do that, and I will let you know how much it costs to have, you know, a diet where your calories are like $2,500, calories, you know, 3,000 calories, what have you, and to see how, you know, and of course I live in the Northeast, so it's going to be a little different elsewhere, but I'm going to try to, you know, I'll let you know what it costs here, right? And then you can verify it in your area by looking at, you know, getting my shopping list and checking it out. Now, the thing is, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are very finicky eaters, right? They only like this one thing, right? Well, sometimes you have to, like, start to develop a taste for different things. And sometimes it's going to be plain food, but it's going to be very nourishing, better than anything you're going to find. So making it tasty is, that's another thing. I mean, you can buy spices and stuff, and I want to talk about that, how to make foods tasty and try to do it on a budget. That's the nutrition part. I'll talk about that later, maybe next week. But this week, I just wanted to go over basically what exercises there are for people. Now, there are two types of exercises, I would say two major groups of exercises. One is resistance training, and one is aerobic. Now, what I'm saying is the difference here is aerobic training is like running, things of that nature, okay, where you're I don't know why they call it aerobic, you know, basically it's something that gets your heart pumping more. It's something that you do for a longer period of time. I'm not really sure. There must be a reason why it is. Aerobic, because of your breathing, right? It has to do with the air. How stupid I sound, right? Well, I mean, aerobic is, what is aerobic? You know, it's a good question. Hold on, let me pause because I have to give you a good answer. Okay, aerobic exercise is brisk physical movement which promotes the flow of oxygen through your body. So, of course, running, you're going to be breathing more deeply, and you're going to get more oxygen in your blood and through your body. Okay. Then there's resistance training, which is it anaerobic? Anabolic, I don't know what the right word is, but there is less breathing going on. I mean, there is breathing going on, right? But you're not huffing and puffing. Resistance training is you're lifting heavy weights, putting a stress on your muscles, and that stress is forcing them to get stronger and grow. Based on the weight you're lifting and whether or not you're getting enough rest and nutrition, because it's a physical thing. You know, your muscles aren't going to grow if you don't feed them right. You know, they have to have protein. They need glycogen, which is a carbohydrate, which is a type of carbohydrate in the muscle to help repair it. That's why it's important to eat right when you're weight training. Now, of the resistance training, there is body weight exercises, which I think are called free exercises. That's where you do exercises which just requires your body weight. Pull-ups, push-ups are two examples. But you remember in high school or elementary school, you did squat thrusts. Remember those? Jumping jacks. There are all sorts of things that you can do with just your body to do exercises. When you flex your muscles, like if you like flex your biceps, you're exercising that muscle by doing that, because what you're doing is you're contracting it and then you're stretching it out and contracting it and stretching it out. Now body weight exercise only goes so far, okay? In the beginning, if you are beginning to exercise and get serious about your health, Bodyweight exercises are the way to go for the first 3 months, because this is, first of all, believe me, your body's going to respond if you eat right and you do the bodyweight exercises. You're going to get into a habit. You know, you'll get together a list of exercises you're going to do 3 days a week. All it takes about 45 minutes of working out. Probably in the beginning, you're only going to do about 20 minutes of working out. But that shouldn't last too long. I would say maybe for, you know, the first 2 weeks, you'll do 20 minutes for each session. Then the next 2 weeks, 30 minutes. And then the fourth week, you do 45 minutes. It shouldn't be working out more than an hour, including your rest periods and stuff in there. Now, of course, I want to make this disclaimer. I'm not a doctor. I'm talking about basically from my own experience, okay? That's what I did when I first started working out. I did bodyweight exercises, then I did some resistance training. I added barbells and dumbbells. I started with dumbbells first. They were easier to use. Actually, I did the machines first, and then I got bored with the machines fairly quickly. The machines are, I guess, good if you want to begin to do the weighted exercises, because what they'll do is they'll put you in a position where you're working the muscle group you're supposed to be working, right? But you really don't benefit. That's fine, right? It's better than nothing, I suppose. But I mean, at the same time, that's like a bad excuse. When you use barbells and dumbbells, when you're lifting them, right, you're working many more muscles than if you're sitting in a machine doing your exercise, right? Because you have to, when you lift those free weights, you're balancing your body, right? You're working other parts of your body. And so you're getting a more of a full body exercise, right? And it's much better for you. Now, an example of this is I was exercising, and I had started to, wanted to add more exercises to my regime to try different things. I started off with basics. And my basic routine includes squats, which I have done on a Smith machine, and that's a type of machine at the gym, which is not a true machine like, you know, some of these exercise machines. It's basically a rack where the barbell is attached to a slide on each side, and there's like a hook on it that you can. That will help you. So if you're lifting weights, you know, and you are having problems, you can like hook it up on a, you know, above you before it falls on you. Sort of a safety, a way to do it safely. Now at my gym, we don't have a thing called a squat rack, which I really would like. A squat rack is where I'd put the barbell loaded with the weights across my shoulders and then do my squats, right? But I have to use the Smith machine, which is attached to these sliding things, which is not as good. But I do my squats. I do chest presses, barbell chest presses. I also do dumbbell flies. That's for the chest. Shoulders, I do shoulder press with barbell. I also do lateral raises with the dumbbells. And then my back. For my back, I use the cables. And I use a cable machine, And again, when you're talking about machines, and when I say cable machine, that's not like the machines like a Nautilus machine. Okay, the cables really are good for you. They work many different muscles. So when I say machine, they're not all equal. When I'm talking about the machines which are for beginners, like the Nautilus machines where there's a circuit, and they bore me, right? The free weights, barbells, dumbbells, and cables, and I'll include cables even though it's a machine, because it does, when you use it, it works many, many different muscles in your body. But I use that for my back, and I used to do barbell rows until I found out that they're not that good, apparently. And then I work my arms, which is the biceps and triceps and forearms, and I do different things. Oh, yes, for the shoulders, I also do the clean and press. Now, this is an example of exercises that you really feel it, okay? Before I did the clean and press, I had, I was doing the squats and, whatever, chest press, etc., right? And I thought, I'm going to start adding something else to my regime. So I did the deadlift. I had added the deadlift. Oh, yeah, I forgot the deadlift. I do that for my back. That's good for the back, too. It's also good for, and I just added the straight-legged deadlift, which is really works your hamstrings and your calves. Let me tell you, my hamstrings are like still feeling it from last Tuesday's workout, and I can't wait to get back to that. But anyway, let me tell you, the straight-legged deadlift I just started and the clean and press, okay? So the clean and press is basically you have the barbell. It was loaded. I had a lightly loaded, I'll say. It was a 30 pounds or whatever. And you have to lift it up and sort of like a reverse barbell curl and sort of like hoist it onto your like in front of you and then press it up, okay? Well, I did this a few times, and my God, my forearms, that's really good for your forearms, okay? My forearms I never really worked my forearms before that time. They were hobbled. It took, I thought I broke my arms, I swear to God. It took a while for them to get back to, to before they were really good. But I was like, wow, it's really interesting. You try these exercises, and it's like this working this whole new muscle, right? Now, with the straight-legged deadlift, I did that, right? I started off like 70 pounds. I knew I started light, and I was fine. By the end of my workout with that, I did 5 sets. I ended up doing 90 pounds at the end, at the last set or whatever. My lower back, it didn't hurt. It wasn't like I had ruined my lower back, but I could really feel the muscles that had been working in my lower back. But more especially was my hamstrings and my calves. I mean, it did such a fantastic job. And I still have a pump in my hamstrings. Now, for those who work out, a pump is when your muscles are like pumped up with blood and engorged after your workout, okay? It is a great feeling because you feel all like hard and puffy and muscular. My God, my hamstrings are like, they're still pumped from that day. So I'm going to get more into the different exercises. I'm going to talk about the different exercises. I'm going to talk about the nutrition. I'm going to try to get together an exercise routine, which I'll have one for a body weight routine, and then a resistance training for what I did in the beginning, and then what I did do now, which I think is intermediate. I consider it intermediate. Who knows? But I really enjoy bodybuilding and weight training, and I like to see the changes in my body, and I think it's a good thing. So if you're interested in this, look it up. There's plenty of resources on the web, and I have links on my webpage at theflatedshow.blogspot.com.
They say I'm crazy, got no sense, but I don't care. They may or may not mean offense, but I don't care. You see, I'm sort of independent of a clever race descendant. My star is on the ascendant. That's why I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what they may think of me. I'm happy-go-lucky. Men say that I'm plucky, so jolly and carefree. I don't care, I don't care if I do get the mean and stony stare. If I'm never successful, it won't be distressful, 'cause I don't care. Some people say I think I'm it, but I don't care. They say they don't like me a bit, but I don't care. 'Cause my good nature effervescing is one there is no distressing. My spirit there's no oppressing, just 'cause I don't care. I don't care, I don't care if people don't like me. I'll try to outlive it, I know I'll forgive it, and live contentedly. I don't care, I don't care if people do not try to treat me fair. Oh my, there is naught can amaze me, dislike cannot daze me, 'cause I just don't care.
Another 5-minute mystery.
Timothy Fuller murder runs south.
Who shall I say is calling, sir?
Jack Curtis of the Evening Record.
Oh, yes, Mr. Curtis. If you will follow me, sir, Mr. Fuller will see you.
Mr. Fuller?
I'm Leslie Fuller. It was my father who was killed.
According to reports, the case isn't progressing so well.
No, it isn't, Mr. Curtis. Seems to be a complete mystery as to who could have killed my father.
I wonder if it might be possible for me to talk with the other members of the household.
Oh, yes, of course. There's just my sister Barbara, Barton the butler, and myself.
Did you ring, sir?
Oh, yes, Barton. Mr. Curtis would like to talk to you and my sister. Will you go for her? She's in a room.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Fuller, were you at home the night your father was killed?
I'm a radio news commentator, Mr. Curtis, and at the time my father was killed, I was on the air.
Oh, don't believe I've ever heard you on the radio, Mr. Fuller.
It's quite possible that you haven't, Mr. Curtis. My commentaries are broadcast in shortwave, unless you had a shortwave receiver.
Oh, yes, yeah, of course.
Did you want to see me, Leslie?
Oh, yes, Barbara. May I present Mr. Curtis of the Evening Record? He wants to ask you some questions.
How do you do, Mr. Curtis?
Oh, how do you do?
You remain also, Barton.
Yes, sir.
Where were you at the time Mr. Fuller was killed, Barton?
I was in the kitchen, sir. I was helping cook polish the silver. When I heard the shot, I ran into the drawing room and found Mr. Fuller slumped over in his chair.
Shot through the head, wasn't he, Barton?
Yes, sir.
And where were you at the time, Miss Fuller?
Oh, I was here in the library. I was lying on the sofa listening to Leslie on the radio when I heard the shot. I never miss him.
Radio? What radio?
Oh, that old portable over there on the desk.
Oh, I see. Where is the cook, Mr. Fuller?
She left this morning. She was terribly upset and the police said it would be all right.
I see. Oh, that's a very beautiful picture of you there on the desk, Miss Fuller. Do you have another one like it?
Why, yes, of course, but...
Oh, I don't want it for myself, Miss Fuller. I want it for my paper.
Just what are you driving at, Curtis?
Just that your sister's picture will appear in the paper tomorrow under the headline, Daughter Murders Father.
But that's fantastic. You have no reason in the world to believe that I murdered
him. No, I don't I? Well, you made one statement that convinced me immediately that you were lying.
What was the statement that led Curtis to believe that Barbara was lying? In a moment, we'll let you know, but first... Mystery.
Yes, Miss Fuller, you made one statement that convinced me immediately that you were lying. Your alibi was that at the time the shot was fired, you were lying in here listening to your brother's commentary on the radio. That's impossible, Miss Fuller. Your brother broadcasts on short wave. Short wave is something different, Miss Fuller, and requires a special receiving set. You could hardly expect me to believe that you heard your brother on that old portable radio you have here. It just wouldn't work. Get your hat and coat, Miss Fuller. Where you're going, you'll have a long time to figure out the intricacies of short wave.
Waiting by the Gate by William Cullen Bryant. Beside a massive gateway, built up in years gone by, upon whose top the clouds in eternal shadow lie, while streams the evening sunshine on quiet wooden lee, I stand and quietly wait till the hinges turn from me. The treetops faintly rustle beneath the breeze's flight, a soft and soothing sound, yet it whispers of the night. I hear the wood thrush piping one mellow descant more, and scent the flowers that blow when the heat of day is o'er. Behold the portals open, and o'er the threshold know. There steps a weary one with a pale and furrowed brow. His count of years is full, his allotted task is wrought. He passes to his rest from a place that needs him not. In sadness, then, I ponder how quickly fleets the hour of human strength and action, man's courage and his power. I muse while still the wood thrush sings down the golden day, and as I look and listen, the sadness wears away. Again the hinges turn, and a youth departing throws a look of longing backward, and sorrowfully goes. A blooming maid, unbinding the roses from her hair, moves mournfully away from amidst the young and fair. O glory of our race that so suddenly decays! O crimson flush of morning that darkens as we gaze! O breath of summer blossoms that on the restless air scatters a moment's sweetness and flies we know not where! I grieve for life's bright promise, just shown and then withdrawn, but still the sun shines round me, the evening bird sings on, and I again am soothed, and beside the ancient gate, in this soft evening sunlight, I calmly stand and wait. Once more the gates are open, an infant group go out, the sweet smile quenched forever, and still the sprightly shout. O frail, frail tree of life, that upon the green sward trowls, its fair young buds unopened in every wind that blows. So come from every region, so enter side by side, the strong and faint of spirit, the meek and men of pride. Steps of earth's great and mighty between those pillars gray, and prints of little feet mark the dust along the way. And some approach the threshold, who looks are blank with fear, and some whose temples brighten with joy in drawing near. And if they saw dear faces and caught the gracious eye of him, the sinless teacher, who came for us to die, I mark the joy, the terror, yet these within my heart can neither wake the dread nor the longing to depart. And in the sunshine streaming on quiet wood and lea, I stand and calmly wait till the hinges turn from me.
You've been listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at flatusshow@gmail.com or come by and visit my website at theflatusshow.com. Thank you for listening.
Furlough with us. You know, you've always been our favorite nephew, even though you are an incredible coward.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Any news of Cousin Sonia?
Only that she and Vaskovic are unhappy and that she takes lovers.
She takes uppers?
Lovers.
Lovers. Lovers.
I've become a scandal.
Poor Sonia.
For the past weeks, I've visited Suretsky in his room.
Why? What's in his room? Oh.
And before Suretsky, Alexei. And before Alexei, Allegorian. And before Allegorian, Asimov.
Okay.
Wait, I'm still on the A's.
Well, how many lovers do you have?
In the Midtown area?